Hello, everyone. Today we'll be talking about how to take courage while you wait. But before I dive in, would you do something for me and for your friends? Would you share this link with someone that you care about? Because they will thank you for it. Think of someone who's waiting for fill in the blank. This message will help that person, someone that you care about. So please share this link right now. In a moment, I'll be introducing two persons, two characters from the Bible, from the Christmas event story. Their names are Simeon and Anna. But before I do that, I want to start by sharing a real story too, another real event. Anne, a friend of mine, back in 1994, she was praying with a friend, and she discerned that God was saying to her, Anne, I want you to go back to school, in the graduate school, and obtain a Master of Divinity. And after discerning, praying, and talking to her friend, Anne discerned that indeed God was calling her to go back to school and get a Master's of Divinity degree. Now, she obeyed, but it was a tough time for her. Back then, she had three young children at home. She was working at work. She and her husband, Lawrence, owned a personal business, and she was heavily involved in that business. At the same time, she was going to school. Tough, don't you think? And it was so hard. And every year, when the new semester would begin, she would ask God, are you sure? This is what you really want me to do. And every year, she discerned, yes, God wants me to do this. So she was faithful, but it was a long waiting. You know how many years it took for her to finish her degree in the Master of Divinity? 9 years, 9 long years. It was a long time. And as she waited, she had thought every time, maybe I misheard God. Maybe I need to rediscern God's will for me. Maybe some of you can relate to her, right? Whatever you're going through right now, you are wondering, oh, this is taking such a long time. Did I discern this correctly? Is God leading me correctly? Well, after 9 years, after obtaining her degree in Master of Divinity, nothing happened. She thought for sure, now that she had finished her school, that God would take her to the next step. But nothing happened. She had to wait. Not just 1 year, not just 2 years. She had to wait 5 more years. From 1994 all the way to 2007. Can you relate to Anne? Maybe in the past, you had to wait upon something. You had to endure the patience. And there were moments, days and nights, when you doubted, am I doing the right thing? Or right now, you are going through a similar situation. Maybe you felt God leading you to do something, and you are waiting. And you wonder, am I doing the right thing? Or, man, I think I heard God right, but this waiting is so hard. I need courage. Well, this message is for you. I'm going to take you to the book of Luke. Luke is the author of this book in the New Testament of the Bible, and he will be talking about not as familiar account when it comes to Christmas story. This story deals with two actual persons, Simeon and Anna. So let me take you there. Chapter 2, verse 22. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him, that's Jesus, baby Jesus, to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord. A pair of doves or two young pigeons. Here's my first point. As you wait, take courage in God's promise. As you wait for God's time to come to pass, as you wait for God's timing to fulfill, to be fulfilled, take what? Take courage in God's promise. In this short paragraph, the phrase, as it is written in the law of the Lord, or according to the law of the Lord, required by the law of the Lord. It's repeated three times, law of the Lord, law of the Lord. And it's referring to two requirements, two commandments. One is the purification rites concerning Mary, who just gave birth to a child. And the second is consecration of the firstborn male baby. In the book of Leviticus, chapter 12, the Lord says to the Israelites, when a mother gives birth to a child, she is declared ceremonially unclean for the first 7 days. And after 7 days, wait another additional 33 days, so that's 7 plus 33, that's 40 days. She is to appear before a priest at the temple, and she is to present a lamb. And if she's too poor, and if she can't afford a lamb, then she is allowed to sacrifice two pigeons for her sin atonement. And this is regarding the purification rites for Mary. And what's this about? It's about God's promise. God's promise in what? That He would remove our sins. Now, this ceremonial uncleanness, it's referring to something else. God is saying, as your body becomes unclean, I want you to remember something more significant, something more important, that your sins are making you unclean before my holy sight. And therefore, God is making a provision. God made a promise saying, I will send a new sacrifice. I'm not talking about a lamb that you have to sacrifice every year. I'm talking about I'll be sending you the Lamb of God once and for all to remove all your sins. And the Lamb is Jesus Christ. So Mary is taking courage while she's waiting in what? In God's promise. The second thing has to do with the consecration of the firstborn child. First, male born. This is going back to the book of Exodus, when the Israelites were in captivity under slavery in Egypt. God sent Moses to deliver them. But Pharaoh was stubborn. He would not listen to Moses. So God sent 10 plagues. The last one of them was by sending the angel of death, who came over the entire land. And God made a provision. This angel of death was going to take the first child from every household, first male child, that is. But God said to Moses, sacrifice a lamb and put the blood of this lamb over the doorpost, thus the Passover lamb. And the angel of death would pass over, literally pass over, every household that bore the blood on the doorpost. And God said after that, after saving the Israelites, God said, consecrate your firstborn to me, for you belong to me now. And Jesus, the baby Jesus, is being consecrated, the firstborn of all living things. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah, the Lamb of God, is being consecrated for you to know, for me to know, that our sins are forgiven. How? By the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And therefore, we ourselves are being consecrated. And God's promise is this. God's promise is that take heart as you wait upon my timing, because my promise is I will make a provision to remove your sin. So friends, more than anything else, more than whatever you are going through right now, you are waiting upon something, right? But remember, the biggest waiting has come to pass already. In the fullness of time, God sent Jesus Christ. And Christ, by dying on the cross as the Lamb of God, as the Passover, and He is the firstborn of all creation now, when He rose from the dead, your sins are forgiven. God's promise has come to pass. So whatever you are wrestling with right now, put that in a right context. Is it health? Is it unemployment? Is it relationships? Whatever that may be, whatever you're waiting for right now, remember, the big waiting is over already. Because God's promise is that He will make you His child through Jesus Christ. Shall we move on? Verse 25. Let me introduce Simeon. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel." Here's the second point. As you wait, take courage in your destiny. As you wait upon the Lord, as you wait for God's timing to pass, take courage in what? In your destiny. Again, in this short paragraph, what do we know about Simeon? He's not as well known as Joseph, Mary, the shepherds, or the Magi, but his role is very important in the event of the birth of Jesus Christ. Luke writes, Simeon was devout and righteous. But what happened to him? Righteous and devout in that, not that he was sinless or without sin, he was declared righteous. He was declared devout by the Holy Spirit. You know how many times the Holy Spirit was mentioned in this very short paragraph? Three times. Verse 25, the Holy Spirit was upon Simeon. Verse 26, he was revealed by the Holy Spirit that he would not die unless before he sees the birth of the Messiah, God's Messiah. And verse 27, moved by the Holy Spirit, Simeon took hold of the child Jesus. As Simeon waited, the Holy Spirit was on him. Moved by the Holy Spirit, revealed by the Holy Spirit, he was led to the child Jesus. Now, Simeon was waiting for something. What does the Bible say? He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Of all the descriptions Luke could have chosen, he chose that phrase, consolation for Israel, to console Israel. What happened? What was happening in these days? Prior to the coming of Jesus, 5 centuries prior, Jerusalem was sacked by the Assyrians, the Babylonians, and people were taken into captivity. They were taken out of their land, and they were in exile for the next 500 years. And this righteous, devout man, Simeon, he was waiting upon, for what? For the consolation of Israel. He was praying, waiting, anticipating that God would bring about consolation to his people by gathering all the tribes of Israel back to the land. Now, he was told of the destiny, his own destiny, by the Holy Spirit. Simeon, you will not die. You will not taste death until you witness, you give testimony to God's Messiah. How old do you think he was? Well, Luke is not explicit, but he implies 2 things. Number one, he was told by the Holy Spirit that he would not death until he sees the Messiah, right? And second clue is, when Simeon saw Jesus, he said, "Now God, dismiss your servant, for my eyes have seen God's salvation." So we can infer, we can intuit that Simeon was an older gentleman. And all of his life, he was waiting for one event. His destiny was one thing. And what was his destiny? His destiny was, he will not die until he sees the coming of the Messiah of the Lord. So as he waited, he took courage in his destiny. He remembered, as long as I'm alive, God's Messiah hasn't come. So he was encouraged, he was consoled by that destiny. Friends, listen to Simeon's declaration. I have seen God's salvation with my own eyes. Lord, now dismiss your servant. What a bold statement. He has waited for so long. He is eager to depart this world. He has fulfilled his destiny. How about you? As you wait, do you feel the weight and the glory of your destiny? What is your destiny? Oh, think bigger. Oh, think higher. It's more than finding unemployment. It's even more than receiving health. It's even more than reconciling your broken relationships. Your destiny. You are destined to be a child of God. You are destined to receive the consolation of Israel in the coming of Jesus Christ. Simeon says about Jesus, he is the light of God's salvation, not only for the Israelites, but for the entire Gentiles, or for all the Gentiles. You are one of those chosen. I'm one of those chosen. So as you wait, remember your destiny. Let's move on. I want to bring in Anna. Verse 36. There was also a prophet Anna, the daughter of Penuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then she was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying, coming up to them at that very moment, coming up to Joseph and Mary, and Simeon was right next to them. She gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Look at that. Here's my third point. As you wait, take courage in wrestling with God. Let me explain. As you wait upon God's timing, as you wait for God to bring to pass what he promised, as you wait for God to fulfill his purpose in you, your destiny in you, what do? Wrestle with God. What do we know about Anna? The Holy Spirit, who authored all the books in the Bible, he is such a good storyteller. He has a real gift in telling the narrative. When he omits things, that's for a purpose. When he includes information, that's also for a purpose. So what do we know about Anna? He was a prophetess, someone who spoke forth the word of God. Her name, Anna, which means grace. In Hebrew, Anna is Hannah. Okay? I'll come back to that. It's a reference to another event. She is the daughter of whom? Penuel, which means the face of God. I'll come back to that too. And of the tribe of Asher. When you put all these things together, because the Holy Spirit is giving lots of clues as to who Anna is. We also know that she was married, and after 7 years, she became a widow. And now, how old is she? 84. When the Holy Spirit gives all this detailed information, that is for a purpose. Well, let's think about this. Let's use our imagination. How old do you think she was when she got married? Well, we know from archaeology and history, things from outside of Bible and also inside the the Bible, we know in those days, 2,000 years ago, a woman got married early, anywhere between age 12 and 16, for two reasons, because of life expectancy. In those days, 2,000 years ago, the average lifespan was 30 to 40 years. And because of lack of medicine and all the diseases, people did not live too long, generally speaking, okay? Second reason is, women got married early because the higher infant mortality rate, so they got pregnant early on. Now, so let's suppose Anna was about 14 years old, and she had been married for 7 years, and then she became a widow, and after that, until she became 84, she had been waiting, waiting, waiting. What was she waiting for? What was she waiting on? Well, the Luke doesn't say, but clue is, back to Simeon. She was looking for something because the clue is, after she sees the baby Jesus, she told everyone who was waiting for what? For the redemption of Jerusalem. So she was looking for something, waiting for something. Redemption of Jerusalem. Everything is happening, taking place in the temple court, which is in Jerusalem. Hannah lived in the temple court in Jerusalem. So what is the connection? Well, let me get to other clues. Her name is Anna, and her father is Penuel, which means the face of God. Ah, if you know your Bible, the first place you come across the name Penuel is regarding Jacob. Regarding Jacob. In Jacob, in the Old Testament, this is what we know. He was not a honorable man. He did everything to make himself advance. He was a deceptive man. He was all for himself. Long story short, he deceived his older brother Esau and he stole his older brother's birthrights. Now, Esau was about to kill him, and Jacob, fearing for his life, all night long he was praying. He was praying. Now, an angel of the Lord appeared and they began wrestle together. I don't have time to tell you all the details, but you can look it up in the Bible later. And as Jacob was wrestling with the angel of God, okay, afterwards, Jacob says, "Oh my goodness, I've seen the face of God, for I wrestled with God." And he named the place, guess what? Penuel, face of God. And which tribe was he from? The tribe of Asher. Well, again, Asher was one of Jacob's 12 sons, one of 12 tribes of Israel. So when you put all these things together, what do you get? Here's the significance. Anna was waiting for the restoration of Jerusalem. She was waiting for, just like Simeon, all the tribes to come back to the land, come back to Jerusalem, come back to the temple, and to worship God as one people. And she's saying, "I see the redemption of Jerusalem. My eyes have held, my eyes have looked at the baby Jesus. I see the face of God in this child. I see the redemption of Jerusalem in this child." And that's what she was so excited about. And she told everyone. Friends, we got to wrestle with God. How? Anna stayed in the temple courts, day and night, doing what? Praying and fasting. When we pray, when we fast, we are wrestling with God. We are saying, "God, just like Jacob, I won't let you go until you answer my prayer. I won't let you go. I'm going to keep on wrestling with you in prayer and fasting until you bring about your goodwill in my life. Let your will be done. Let your kingdom come. So I'm going to fast. I'm going to pray. I'm going to wrestle with you." Friends, take heart. Take courage. As you wait, take courage in wrestling with God. Let me come to the conclusion. Oh, let me tell you about what happened to Anne. So all that studying, 9 years, and then 5 years of waiting, God finally came through. God said, Anne Lawrence, my will for you, all this waiting is for you to join Mosaic House Church, start this brand new church, and make an impact. This is your destiny. And for that reason, keep wrestling with God, keep praying with God, keep fasting, so that many lives will come to know Jesus Christ. Let me end with this, friends. Remember, as you wait, take courage in God's promise, take courage in your destiny, and take courage in wrestling with God. Pray with me. Father in heaven, our God and Lord, we receive the child Jesus as the one who consoled not only Jerusalem, not only Israel, but also the entire humanity. We wait upon you, Lord Jesus. You are coming back. You are coming back, and you are in control. And that's why we can wait. And that's why we can take courage. That's why we can persevere. Thank you, Lord. Help us now to live in this power. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen.